I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 24. This chapter tells us about Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, goes to Abraham's family to find a wife for Isaac. This chapter, as well as the Old Testament, is filled with typology. Typology is word pictures that help us to understand New Testament truth. This will help us to understand what is going on today. Because we're living in the day when the Holy Spirit, which is a picture of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, is calling out a bride, that is, Rebekah, like Rebekah, calling out a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in type Isaac. So I've listed several types here, but I'm going to read Genesis 24, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Sarah passes away in chapter 23. Sarah is a type and a picture of the nation of Israel being set aside before Jesus Christ begins to call out a bride. In Genesis 23, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." I think it is significant that the Holy Spirit says that Sarah died in Kirjath Arba. Kirjath is the Hebrew word for city, and Arba was the wicked city that had the sons of Anak in it, and it was in a mountain which was called Hebron. It was the mountain that Caleb went and destroyed. And the sons of Anak are the same as the Nephilim of Genesis chapter 6. Sarah died in the presence of her enemies. Satan was working profusely and untiringly during the days which Jesus Christ was here upon the earth. We only read of one incident where Satan tempted the Lord Jesus. But when you read in Luke's account, you find that he left him for a while. And so it was a constant battle that the Lord had with Satan. Secondly, in Genesis chapter, or the next is in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Abraham is a type of God the Father. "And Abraham sent his eldest servant," which is a type of the Holy Spirit, in Genesis 24:2. "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant," which is Eliezer, "that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." In other words, make an oath to me, Eliezer, to find a wife for my bride, but he is not to find a wife for his son, Isaac, among the children of the Canaanites. Remember, the Canaanites were the enemy, they were the enemy of God, or the enemy of Abraham, basically speaking, in type and picture. And he says, "I want you to get that bride out of from my kindred." In Genesis 24 and verse 4, "But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." I think that we need to appreciate the fact that the wife of Isaac was not the whole family down in the Ur of the Chaldees. Only one went home or came to Isaac, and that was Rebekah. Rebekah was the bride. And that's what's happening today. The whole body of Christ is not the bride of Christ. When God took out of the body of Adam a rib and made him a wife, He didn't take the whole body, only a part of the body. The same thing with the bride. The bride is not the whole body of Christ, contrary to much popular teaching today. But it's of my kindred and of my country. I know that genealogies sometimes are boring, but God puts them in at the right time so that we are aware of them, but also Abraham was aware of the genealogy found in Genesis chapter 22. "And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. And the list of the children of Milcah and Nahor are given. And Rebekah is the daughter of Bethuel, who was the eighth, and which is the number of new beginnings. Eighth day, circumcision on the eighth day. Anyway, new beginnings. Of course, Isaac is a type of Christ. Genesis 24:4, "But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto Isaac my son." In Genesis, we've already brought out the fact that Isaac's wife is the bride of Christ. Genesis 24:4 says, "Thou shalt go into my country and to my kinmen and take a wife unto my son Isaac." In Revelation chapter 19, in verses 7 and 8, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousnesses of saints." Or a better translation, the righteous acts of the saints. There will be a marriage of the Lamb, and that will take place after the tribulation period. And I want us to notice in this passage of Scripture we read in Revelation that his wife hath made herself ready. Personal preparation on the part of the bride. This did not happen when one was saved. Salvation puts us in the family from which the Lord can call the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is one who is fervent in spirit, in which we will see. In other words, she has a heart for the things of the Lord. And it says that she will be granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. How do we cover the shame of our nakedness? With fine linen, clean and white, and that fine linen has to do with our works. Works. Not salvation, but works. The righteous acts of the saints. Those things that please God. Those righteous acts of the saints have to be acts of faith through grace. Because these are the things that please God. She hath made herself ready. Self-preparation. Now, where the brides come? Where do brides come from? Well, Eliezer went to a well. In Genesis 24:13, it says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men, of the men of the city, will come out to draw water." A well is a type and a picture as well. A well is a type and a picture of the Word of God. You remember that Jesus went to a well in the land of Samaria, and he met a woman of Samaria who came out to the well. And Jesus talked of the water that was what? Living water. In Genesis chapter 24, we find that Isaac was a man of wells. Isaac came by the way of the well Lehi-Roi, well of the living one that seeth. That's what the word Lehi-Roi means. For he dwelleth in the south country. In Genesis 26:16, it says, Isaac digged again the wells of water, which he had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father called them. Notice who fills up the wells? The Philistines. Who are the Philistines? Our enemies. In type and in picture. What is our enemy trying to do for us today? To abandon the wells. To abandon the well, I should put it that way. And this is the well that we drink out of. The Word of God. And our enemies would cause our wells to be filled up. Again, I remind us that Jesus met a woman at the well in Samaria in John chapter 4. And that is a similar picture in which we are looking at this morning. So Eliezer goes to a well because he knows this is the place where women come. And he's looking for a wife for Isaac. So he goes to a place where he will expect to find a wife. Now, it's interesting that he could tell that the woman that came to the well was fair, she was good looking, and that she was a virgin. How could he tell that? Well, she didn't have a veil on. And in the days in which Rebekah lived, they were honorable in the fact that the veil across the face indicated that she was a married woman and not to be looked upon. She had no veil. And so therefore he knew that she was a virgin, and of course not having a veil, he could tell she was a good-looking lady. So that's how he could tell who she was. And in verse 14 of Genesis 24, it says, Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Well, we know what happened. He no sooner finished praying, and here comes this damsel, and it was Rebekah. And he asked Rebekah the same thing that Jesus asked the woman at the well. Give me something to drink. And the damsel, a virgin, neither having known a man or hath any man known her, she went down into the well and filled up her pitcher and came up. And in verse 17, the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. Notice that Eliezer was one who was for running as well. Eliezer was one who ran. Was Rebekah one who ran? Yes, she was. And she said, Drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And verse 20 says, And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Notice that she was one who not only did more than was required. You know, she was respectful to the man in that she did not approach him. But when he said, "I'm thirsty," she responded to the man's need. She ministered to this man that was in need. The bride of Christ is one who ministers to others, cares for others, shares with others. And then the bride, or in this case, Rebecca, did more than was required without being asked or without being needled or goaded, if you please. She drew for the camels. And there were at least 10 camels because there were 10, or maybe there were 11 camels because she had them, well, 10 camels. There were 10 camels. And camels can drink a lot of water because they can go days in the desert without water. And so they drank, and she kept filling up the trough until they were done. She was fervent in spirit. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran unto the well to draw water and drew for the camels. Verse 22 tells us, "And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hand of 10 shekel weights of gold." This is a picture of the Holy Spirit giving sort of the earnest of the inheritance that she was going to get when she got home to Isaac. The earring could be a face jewel or jewelry. Some say it goes in the nose, some on the forehead. But the point is this, it had to do with enhancing her beauty. And if you want to carry it further, it allowed her to have the kind of ears that can hear. The earring. Ears that can hear and eyes that can see. Two bracelets for her hands. In Ephesians 1:13 and 14 it says, "In whom we also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the promise, or until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Then we find Rebecca arose in Genesis 24:61 it says, "Rebecca arose and her damsel, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. The servant took Rebecca and went his way." Rebecca responded to the invitation to go back to Isaac's, or to back to Abraham's son Isaac. Rebecca was one who followed Eliezer. "Just like my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Rebecca is a type and a picture of sheep. Sheep. "And I give unto them life for the age." Eternal life or life for the age is a symbol and a picture of our inheritance. That's what eternal life or life for the age or age-lasting life means. It has to do with our inheritance in the coming kingdom of our Lord. Where did Rebekah see Isaac? In Genesis 24 and verse 62 it says, "Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country." There's something very interesting here. Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahai-roi, but also Ishmael dwelt by the same well. In Genesis chapter 16 verse 14, "Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai-roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered." Beer Lahai-roi is the same well. You see the word beer? That's Hebrew for well. Ishmael dwelt by the same well where Isaac was dwelling at the time when Rebekah was coming. This is close to what is known as Kadesh Barnea. Remember what happened at Kadesh Barnea? This is where the children of Israel went in and spied out the land. This is where Isaac met Rebekah at Kadesh Barnea, if you want to put it that way. But the significance of the fact is that both Ishmael and Isaac drank of the same well, but it did not produce the same results. Ishmael was a wild man. He was a troublemaker. He did not respond to what he got out of that well like Rebekah did. Rebekah later, but Isaac did. And it's just amazing the vast differences that people can get out of the Word of God. And it depends upon our hearing ability. Rebekah had the wherewithal to hear and to glean from the well. But anyway, same well, different results. Isaac met Rebekah between her home and his home. Is that what's going to happen when we are caught up together with him in the air? Absolutely. When we are caught, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ will come and meet us halfway between his home and, of course, our home here on the earth. We find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But one of the things that we see that Eliezer provided for Rebekah is in chapter 24 of Genesis, verses 51 through 53. Behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. The word jewels is also translated armor. It's also translated artillery. It's translated weapons. It's translated vessels, stuff, wares. This word jewel is translated many different ways. And I think it's translated that way for emphasis to us. Do we need weapons of warfare to make it from our home to the heavenly home? Yes, we do. We need the spiritual armor. We need the wherewithal. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need weapons. The bag held the rocks that killed giants. That's what David reached into. He reached into his jewel, that is, the bag on his side, and pulled out a rock and slung it and killed Goliath. I was just thinking about wares. The ship in which Jonah was riding had jewels or wares. These have to do with talents. This has to do with their living. They were hauling wares in that ship, and they tossed them overboard. But the point is this: God has given us everything that we need to make the journey from here to heaven. Okay? Now, another interesting thing too is this: when the children of Israel left Egypt, what happened? In Exodus chapter 3, verse 22, it says, But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Who got the jewels of gold and the jewels of silver and the raiment? The children got them. Not mom and dad got them, but they put them on their kids. Eliezer had them, but he put them on whom? Rebekah. Mom and dad gave their children everything they needed to make the journey from Egypt to where? To the land flowing with milk and honey, which is a picture and a type of what? Their inheritance. Now, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, and it says, And when they came, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, these spies said it was just like God said it was. And here is proof. And this was at Kadesh Barnea. That's where Isaac was wandering, waiting for his bride. Then we find in Numbers 14:31, it says, "But your little ones, which he said would be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised." The children had everything they needed to make it into the promised land. And it was provided by their sons, or by their parents, excuse me. Rebekah was prepared. In Genesis chapter 24, verses 64 through 67, it says, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she got off the camel." Rebekah was one who looked up, just like Abraham. In the tent, in the door of his tent, he was looking up. Did he see the Lord when he came? Yes, he did. Rebekah was one who was looking up, knowing that her redemption or her husband was near. "For she had said unto the servant, the man, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself." Notice that she covered herself. This is a picture of what? She was engaged. What is the term I want to use, what I'm trying to think of? Like Joseph and Mary. Betrothed. Right. She was betrothed. She was as a married woman. And she honored her husband by covering herself. That was honoring her husband. Betrothed. That was the word I was trying to think of. And she covered her. She covered herself that the shame of her nakedness would not appear. You see the parallel there? To be uncovered is to dishonor her husband and be ashamed for her husband as well as herself. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, the Lord counseled the church at Laodicea to buy me gold fried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Rebekah had done all of this. She started at the well, and the Holy Spirit gave her everything that she needed to cover herself, because she ministered to the Lord. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done, and Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's, tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The Lord's going to be comforted when He and the bride are joined together. For one thing is that Israel will be restored. Sarah will be raised from the dead in type and in picture and will be restored. So, what do we see in Genesis chapter 24? We see what's going on right now. God is calling out of His people, a people for His name, or the bride of Christ. It's not the whole body, it's only a part of the body. And there will be a marriage feast. And at the marriage feast, there are going to be guests there. And then there are going to be even guests that get in that are going to be booted out because they didn't have on the righteous acts of the saints. In other words, they didn't have on the wedding garments that they needed. They'll be booted out of the wedding feast. So it's important for us to take Rebekah is an example for us. We need to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, doing more than is required, more than that which is our duty to do. If all we do is what is our duty to do is simply go to the well, draw the water, and go home, that's just, we're an unprofitable servant. And Rebekah was not an unprofitable servant. She ministered to those in need around her. And we can draw from her example and be found pleasing unto the Lord in that day. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship around your word. And we pray, Father, that you would just bless this lesson to each of our hearts, that we might be encouraged to be as Rebecca, to serve you and to honor you and to minister to those around us. Because, Lord, we don't know who we are ministering to, but, Lord, we know that we can be a blessing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to do more than that which is our duty to do. We want to be profitable servants. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have provided everything that we need that we can be a profitable servant. These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.